would ask the deacons if they will pass out the commitment cards. You will be using these later. If the deacons can do that at this time. I also want to thank Jennifer for this beautiful arrangement. And I love the reason why. Is Jennifer here? Where's Jennifer? She's not. But I love the reason why. It's to praise Jesus because he is coming soon. Amen. If you will take a Bible and turn with me to Luke 10. Be reading verses 27 through 29. Luke 10. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Wherever possible, let's kneel for prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for just the opportunity to come into your presence this morning to worship you together. Dear Father, you know that we have a lot of praises and a lot of prayer requests this morning. Dear Father, I just want to especially lift Chip up to you this morning and that family. Dear Father, you are the mighty healer. You have the power to heal him completely, to restore him to full health. And that is, of course, what we want. Dear Father, we do leave it in your hands because we know that you are the mighty one, that you know what is best. But, dear Father, please, if it can be within your will, we ask that you will touch him. Be with the family, give them strength to go through this trial. Dear Father, we think of the young men that we have from this church that are serving in the military. Dear Father, guide them, protect them, give them strength to do your will, to stand for you in every circumstance, so that the men and women around them will see a difference in them and be drawn to you. Dear Father, thank you again just for Cheryl and her ministry as she brings us your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit truly speak through us. May he speak to our hearts and our minds. May we see you better and more clearly today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, look, my friends are here. Yay! I am so grateful to be with you on this beautiful day because you know what? It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? You know this song? It's a neighborly day for this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? And every time, for those of you who remember, the song ended with, won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? Yes, so who is our neighbor? Well, neighbors, let me tell you a little bit about who I am, and then we'll get to God's word. I'm Cheryl Chernault, and I come to you from Orlando, Florida, where that Mickey mini doll that Naomi is holding came from. Yes, the world of Disney. My husband actually works for Disney, so I see a Mickey Mouse signs his paychecks. We like him. And so that's really a good thing. I work at Advent Health, and I kind of have a couple different hats. But I bring you greetings from Advent Health for Children. I bring you greetings from Advent Health Mission and Ministry Department, where I do most of my work. And I also bring you greetings from the corporate office of Advent Health. Many people are praying for you today. Each of you, can you feel it? Do you know it? You are being prayed for from all of those people in Orlando, Florida. And that is a powerful thing. I've been married for 35 years. Yay, go me! You know, marriage is one of those things. Sometimes it is the best, and sometimes, ooh, it's just not so good. But you know what? I love my husband dearly, and I would not change a thing. We have three beautiful grown children. One who lives in Seattle, who came to visit me just on Thursday when I flew out here, which was so wonderful. He and his lovely wife, we live polar opposites of the country. They live in Seattle. My husband and I live in Orlando, so it was great to see him. He's moving this Thursday, though, to San Francisco with his lovely wife, so they're relocating. My middle child is, oh my goodness, if I tell you my children's ages, you're going to know how old I am. Oh, well, it's okay. My middle child is 28, so that makes my older child older. And I didn't have children till I was in my 30s, so that makes me older. So there you go. And he works in Orlando, and he works at at Chrysler in a warehouse kind of situation where they, you know, send all car parts everywhere across the world. I really don't know what he does, but he's great. He's wonderful. And then my youngest daughter goes to Adventist University in Orlando, Florida, and she is in her last year of nursing school. Yes, finally the college bills will go away. So I have a delightful, wonderful family. My parents are still very much alive and very much a part of my life, and they have been a very important part of making me who I am today. I grew up in a wonderful, loving Christian home where God was always the center of the family. And so for that, I owe my parents and stand on, as Laura said earlier, stand on their shoulders. I stand on their shoulders, and I can see far because of it. So that's enough about me. I never really did grow up, so, you know, it's kind of how it is. And so indulge my childness that comes out occasionally, and I invite you to find the child that is inside of you. Because even though some of you might deny it, there's a child inside of you that wants to come out and play occasionally. So let it come out this morning as we open God's word. Would you pray with me as we are about to open his word? Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the way you have shown your compassion and your mercy and your love to us. And now, Lord, as we open your word, help us to not only read about what it means to love, but know in the depths of our soul what you are trying to teach us, so that we might leave these doors changed. And now, Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words that come from my mouth be only from you. Lord, use us all this day. I pray in your powerful and loving name. Amen. Well, we're going to start in the Old Testament a little bit. So if you grab your Bibles, we're going to go back to Isaiah. Everybody know where Isaiah is? It's in that Old Testament, pretty big book. You know, you'll find it in there. If you would go to Isaiah 54:10 and listen to these words. For the mountains, everybody look outside there real quick. Those things out there, I don't have those at my house. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has, what's that word?
Mercy.
Or we can say compassion on you. Very much on you. Now, I want us to flip over to Luke. Remember those words that God said, okay? He has compassion on you. Head on over to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read the story just a little bit further. And we're going to look for those words mercy and compassion and see what they can teach us today about our neighbor. Because who is your neighbor? And I have some pictures of the Bible story for those of you that are visual and like to look and see things. So we are going to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan when we get there. So, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Lawyers. Come on, get the picture in your mind, right? The lawyer. Let's see if I can find him. There he is. He stood up and he put him. Who's him? Yes, come on. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher, so you have to talk back to me. It's just the way it is. So he put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he, Jesus, said to him, Well, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And the lawyer answered and said, He's a pretty smart guy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he, who's he? Jesus, yes, said to him, You've answered correctly. I bet that guy was feeling pretty good. You know, when somebody asks you a question and you can answer it correctly, don't you like go, Yeah, look at me. I did it. Okay. So he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, who wants to justify himself? The lawyer. That's right, the lawyer. He said to Jesus, Well, and who is my neighbor? Can't you hear it? Haven't you thought the same question? Well, who is my neighbor? Is it the guy that lives next door? Well, Jesus replied, and he tells him a story. He tells him what we call a parable. So, he said, A certain man was going down the road. Here, we forgot all the lawyer. Those were all lawyer pictures. You didn't need to see those. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. Now, that guy was just taking a nice little trip down the road, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on the road. And when he saw him, y'all know this story, what'd he do? He did. He passed him by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. Here he comes. Also, when he came to the place and saw him, what'd he do? He passed him by on the other side. What is up with these guys? This guy's laying on the road, half dying. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt, what did he feel? Compassion. That word, compassion. And came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast, donkey, probably, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, notice that we're on the next day. He just didn't drop him off at the inn and say, see y'all later, bye. The next day, he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Here comes the question, guys. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And what did the lawyer say? Yes, the one who showed compassion and mercy. And Jesus said, go, do the same. Now, it's a wonderful story, and you all have heard it since you were a child, right? You've heard this story, you know it, and you know that, well, you know what? Do we really know this story? Let's take a peek at Jesus and the lawyer. I like their relationship a lot. Well, I wonder what was the motivation behind that lawyer's question in the first place? You know, we really don't know. It's not clear. But it's kind of the question that matters, isn't it? Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that question itself contradicted all of Jesus' teachings, because what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do you have to do? It was a gift, wasn't it? You have to accept it. Yes, yes, yes. It's not something we can earn. We can't be good enough to earn it. But Jesus didn't try to take him down that road. Jesus didn't say, he didn't even look at him and say, well, that's a stupid question. Okay, you haven't been listening to me. No, instead, he asked another question. He said, what's written in the law? Well, how do you understand it? He wasn't judging. He did not use judging words. He said, how do you understand it? What do you think? And the guy answered the question. And he answered it correctly, right? He got it right. But then he wanted to push a little further because he didn't like the answer he gave. How many of us don't like the answer we give at times? Like, we know what's right, but we really don't want to do what's right. We can't sit quite with that kind of thought. But anyway, so he asked another question. So who's my neighbor? Well, back in the time when Jesus was walking this earth and he was telling this story. In Jewish culture, only a fellow Jew was considered to be a neighbor. Okay? So that was your only neighbor. How many of us think that only another Seventh-day Adventist is our neighbor? Not just a question. We won't talk about that now. That's another sermon. So, Gentiles weren't considered your neighbors. The lawyer was saying, well, hey, I fulfilled the law by treating, you know, my fellow Jew with respect. But that's not what Jesus was trying to say. We've got more individuals in this story than just a lawyer and Jesus. So up comes next the priest and the Levite. Well, in Jesus' time, the road from Jericho to Jerusalem was 18 miles long. That's a pretty long walk. Now, it was probably a narrow path, probably sandwiched between rocky mountains. Kind of like over in there, just the rock between those mountains. And even today, most parts of the highway connecting Jerusalem to Jericho runs between mountains even today. So it was common for people during that time to travel on that path. But it was also common that they would be attacked on that path, because that was a great place for thieves and robbers to hide. They could hide behind the trees on that tiny little path. Well, the Jew, the guy, was one such victim. He fell into the hands of those robbers. Now, back then, okay, clothes were rare and high in value. And a priest passed by him, but did nothing to help. You know why? Well, because in the Jewish culture, a priest was a very important person and a symbol of hope. And it still is in other cultures around the world. He passed by on the other side deliberately, putting a safe distance between himself and the bleeding guy over there, because he didn't want to be ceremonially unclean. Okay, he needed to keep his clothes clean. Or maybe he was just afraid of the bandits for still hiding. The Bible doesn't say. But the point is, the priest failed to be a neighbor. That's the point. But then here comes the Levite. Levites were hierarchically, that's not a word. We'll find another one. Let's see. Levites were a little lower than the priests, okay, on the chain of command here. Nevertheless, they were a well-respected group in Jewish society. The Levite also passed by on that other side. Maybe too. He didn't want to get blood on his clothes, or he was afraid the bandits were still around. But bottom line is, he failed to be a neighbor. Now we got the Jew and the Samaritan left. The history of the fighting between the Jews and the Samaritans, it's long. It's long. They did not like each other. Jews and Samaritans were not, they didn't get along. It was a Jew would not talk to a Samaritan wouldn't talk to a Jew. It just was not taking place. But guess who got to be the neighbor to that guy laying on the road? Didn't he know the law? Didn't he know the law? But Jesus doesn't tell us. But a Samaritan who was traveling came to where the injured man was. And when he saw him, he felt compassion for him. Then Jesus closed the story with another question. You know, which of these three do you think was the neighbor, the one who had mercy on him? And Jesus says, yeah, go and do likewise. I'm always fascinated by these lovely characters in this story, because I wonder who I am in the story. Who am I? Am I the Samaritan? Do I stop? Do I really know? Do I really love my neighbor as myself? And who is my neighbor? And do I get it right? Or am I maybe the Levite or the priest where I just, if I were honest with you, and I'm going to be, I would tell you that many times I am all of the characters in this story. I am not always the Samaritan. Sometimes I see things and I hear things and I go, oh, I can't go down that road. And I walk around. In the hospital, it's a very sad but very true thing that many children come into our hospitals who have been abused and hurt by people who are supposed to be loving and kind to them. But yet I'm supposed to love those people as my neighbors. How do I do that? How do I love someone who is hurting other people? But yet Scripture calls me to love my neighbor as myself. Well, I think some of the things that this passage reminds me of is that I need to be someone who doesn't look for a reward for doing what God tells me to do. That Samaritan was not looking for a reward, was he? He did it. Not only did he do it, he gave up his money for it and said, hey, I'll pay you more when I come back. He was not looking for a reward. So oftentimes when we help our neighbor, what do? Hey, look at me, look what I did. And I've learned that loving my neighbor means, hey, I do it out of love and compassion, not because I am seeking a reward. The other thing I've learned is that I can't count the risk. You know, the priest and the Levite, they counted the risk. Ooh, I might get my clothes dirty. Oh my goodness, what would people think of me if I stopped and helped this man on the road? They were worried about perception. They were worried about what would happen if I show kindness and compassion to my gay neighbor or to the mom and dad that have abused their child that's sitting in my ICU. If I show them love and compassion. So we can't show mercy or compassion unless we're willing to leave our comfort zone. And so many times we just want to stay in our comfort zone. Me too. But that's not what God calls us to do. And he goes with us when we leave our comfort zone. He does the scripture that was read from the little cards this morning. Do not fear. Hey, he's there. He's right there with you. The other thing I can't count is I don't count the sacrifice. The Good Samaritan was a traveler. He was traveling too. And he had to be somewhere, I'm sure. Right? He wasn't just going about just for a little walk on an 18-mile trek. No, he had to go and be somewhere. He had to make a really important meeting. I'm telling you, it was probably really important. But he rearranged his priorities to attend to a wounded man. Mercifulness calls for sacrifice. We can't show mercy unless we're willing to sacrifice. Oh, but I don't want to. I don't want to sacrifice. It's a struggle, isn't it? It's struggle. The other thing the passage and that it shows me, don't count the cost. Look at that Samaritan. That Samaritan had to shoulder the whole financial burden of this guy who got beat up on the road. Mercy is costly. Compassion is costly. Everything in our society and in our world comes with a price, doesn't it? Everything. And mercy is one of those things that also comes with a price. So I can't count the cost. So Jesus, bottom line in this story, he showed one cannot hate another human being and still claim to love God. It's hard to hear. You cannot hate and still claim to love God. Our love for God and for man is expressed in showing mercy to people. And so oftentimes when we want to show mercy, we want to go far, or we want to really go to the ones that are bleeding on the road. But if you look to your right and your left today as you're seated here, I can 100% guarantee you that the person you're sitting beside needs mercy and compassion in some form or another. So our neighbor is not just the people that are here, not just the people that belong to our church, but our neighbor is everyone who crosses our path on a daily basis. How do you show mercy to the grocery store clerk? How do you show mercy to those that you meet along the way? Because you know you've got that important meeting you've got to get to, right? And you might have to stop and talk. Oh my goodness. And when you're stopping and talking, you might be seen with someone who is different than you. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. They might not be Seventh-day Adventist. They might be a homosexual. They might be oh my goodness, what might they be? How do you know? Do you talk to them? You're just assuming, aren't you? Yeah. And you know the thing about this passage that I just love the most is love your neighbor as yourself. We tend to really love ourselves, don't we? We eat pretty good food. We're gonna have an awesome potluck here in a few minutes. That's pretty good, huh? Not everybody has that. Not everybody has that, but we're loving ourselves good this afternoon and we're going to eat good. You know, we love ourselves when we wake up in the morning and we put on that pretty dress that we bought, or we put on that. Not everybody has that. How are we showing compassion and mercy to our neighbors? So we need to show mercy wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. All in. And guess what? God will reward us. Won't he? Don't you serve a loving God? Yes. He thinks you are the bee's knees. He loves you. He wants you to show compassion to your neighbor. He wants you to leave the comfort of your home and walk across the street to the house that lives across you and go, knock, knock, hi, I'm Cheryl. How are you doing today? I'm going to have some lemonade out on my front porch. Thought you might want to join me. Whew, that's scary stuff, isn't it? Because you don't know who you're going to be talking to. But you know what? God goes with you. God goes with you. And he's right there. And he's like cheering you on, going, yes, show some compassion. Show some mercy. Because your neighbor and you will be blessed. I always tell people, your socks are going to be just blessed off. There you go. Right off your feet. Your socks are blessed off. If you follow the love your neighbor as yourself. I want to close with one thing. I have tons more scripture I could share with you. Tons more stories that God tells us in his word about loving our neighbor. But the reason we can love our neighbor is because he loved us first. All right? And this whole book right here is all about relationship. It's all about his relationship with us and our relationship with others. So if you ever get lost and you kind of don't know what you're supposed to be doing, just open the book, talk to God, and say, okay, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Because I want to love my neighbor as myself. And for all of you who have trouble remembering scripture and memorizing scripture, anybody have that trouble? Okay, well, I do occasionally, frequently, all the time. So I have to put, like, I know this is crazy. I have to put motions or things to it to remind me scripture. So I'm going to teach you one today. You'll never be the same, I promise. Okay? Everybody hold up your hand. Come on. Here it is. Now, this is a really simple thing. It's love your neighbor as yourself, right? One word, right? Now keep that hand up. Here we go. And watch what happens. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, you'll never be the same, will you? You'll be waving to everybody going, yeah, I'm loving my neighbor now. Oh, my. Well, take out those commitment cards because this is real important. On the back of your commitment card, there's lots of boxes you can check. And I don't know how you came to service today. I don't know if this is your church home. I really don't know a lot about you yet, other than I love each of you. And that I do want to be your neighbor, and I do want to know you. But on the back of this, maybe God's talking to you a little bit. Maybe he's telling you what he wants you to do, and you're like fighting him. Oh, God and I have had some fancy fights. I could tell you stories. But so maybe you just want to submit to his will today. Maybe he's telling you what you need to be doing. Maybe you want to just be a witness to everyone around you. And actions speak louder than what? Words. They really do. Maybe your neighbor just needs a glass of lemonade on your porch. Or maybe you just desire that the Holy Spirit just fills you because you're tired. We get tired. Maybe you just need that Holy Spirit to flow into you so that you can offer a glass of lemonade to your neighbor. But then there's that empty box down there. And even if you are a kid in this service, I want you to figure out, how are you going to love your neighbor? What is one way this week you can love your neighbor as yourself? What's one way you can do that? And you know what? Science tells us that if we write things down, we are 90% more likely to achieve what we have written down. So see that blank line right there? Write it down. What is it that you can do this week, one thing, to love your neighbor as yourself? Doesn't have to be grandiose. It can be that glass of lemonade on the porch. Does everybody have one thing they're writing down? Write it down. We are going to collect these cards as you leave, but don't worry. You wrote it down, and that's for you. If you write something on that line, I can guarantee you, pastor's not going to come going, did you do it yet? Did you do it? Pastor will not do that, okay? Because he understands that you're writing down something for you. And that you're going to be 90% more likely to do it if you write it down. But write it down. You will be successful. And the last thing before we close is, if you have time this afternoon, I invite you to come spend time with us this afternoon. My friends from the conference will be there. We're going to talk a little bit more on reaching in and reaching out. Now, why would I say you have to reach in before you can reach out? You can come and it's only an hour. You'll figure it out. But then there's a second hour where if you stay, we can talk about, so what are some fun ways that I can maybe make a new friend or share with someone? How can I be a witness? And how can we use the term evangelism? How can I evangelize those around me? You'll be surprised how simple it is, because we're going to look into God's word. It really is simple. Us humans, we make everything complicated. And then that third hour, we're really going to talk about
our being healthy Northwest, healthy kids Northwest. And I'm going to show you ways that we can share health with those around us. Even if you don't have kids, you're going to learn something. So come on. Like, how many of you knew that if you wrote it down, you're 90% more? Some of you knew. Some of you didn't. That's something that we know in the health world. So I'm going to share some health with you the third hour. You'll be healthier when you leave, I promise. Thank you so much for this invitation. I have loved being here with you. I can't wait for this afternoon. And I would like if you would all stand as I close and in prayer and then offer a benediction. And then don't forget all the good foods at the potluck. And the potluck's that way, so they tell me. You notice I even know where I'm going, never been here before? That way. It's food, people. That way. God, I thank you so much for my neighbors, for my friends right here. I thank you that as I go across your big, wide world, that there are neighbors and friends everywhere. Lord, help us all to step out of our comfort zone. Help us to make a new friend. Help us to love our neighbor. Help us to dive deep into who we are and offer what we can to those we meet. And now, as we leave this place, may God the Father watch over you. May God the Son walk alongside of you. And may God the Holy Spirit dwell within you from this day forward. Amen. Go in peace.